worship God. It's good to do anything with God. Well, this morning, as you can see by the slide up there, we're going to be taking a little bit of a look at the book of Leviticus this morning. I want to ask you a question. When was the last time you heard a sermon from the book of Leviticus? I'm guessing it's probably been a couple hundred years or so. I think I've preached maybe one or two sermons in my 30-some years of preaching on the book of Leviticus, but we're going to try it this morning. In fact, I would encourage you this morning to have your Bibles open to Leviticus chapter 6, and then you can have your Bible, church bulletin sitting somewhere near you, and you can follow along in the lesson this morning as we look at the book of Leviticus. Leviticus is one of the first five books of the Old Testament, referred to as the Pentateuch. Leviticus was a handbook for the priests and the Levites, outlining their duties in worship. And it was also a guidebook for the Hebrew people living in that time. This is how you make an offering. This is how you conduct worship. This is how you live your personal life. This is how you live in the world around you. That was some of the things that you would find in the book of Leviticus. Leviticus goes into great detail about what is acceptable before God and what is not acceptable before God. It talks about the clothes you wear, the food that you eat, and other various things. Tells you how even to deal with certain health issues. Doctors today sometimes even refer to the book of Leviticus to look at how certain medical issues were treated back then and how it applies today. But here's the thing that's interesting about the book of Leviticus. Many of these Old Testament restrictions on how we live, we understand, don't apply to us today. When people want to discredit Christianity or try to attack the Bible, they often use some obscure passage in the Old Testament, maybe a passage that deals with treating a certain skin disease or something like that. And they say, look at the Bible, what a silly book that it is. How ridiculous it is when you talk about these certain kinds of ways that God wanted you to live, and it had to do with Old Testament practices. People would say, look, the Bible is outdated and it is not applicable today. The truth is that there are some laws in the Old Testament that we are not under today, no doubt about that. We don't observe those certain things. We no longer need to follow those things. For example, we are not required today to offer a burnt offering to God today. We are allowed to eat shrimp. Shrimp, eating shrimp is okay. It wasn't okay in Old Testament times. And it's okay to blend cotton and wool. You wouldn't do that back then by God's law, but you can do that today. These are restrictions that are not necessary for us to follow because we're not under that old law anymore. They were part of the process in that time of God revealing Himself to the people of that time. And there are things that really don't speak to us, per se, today. But as we read about the sacrifices, and we read about the offerings that were made to God, I believe that God can still speak to us through some of these very timeless principles that are set forth, things that symbolize and can help us more be more devoted to God, even in our time today. So we're going to take a look at the book of Leviticus this morning, this sixth chapter. Again, I hope you have your Bibles open to Leviticus chapter 6. A good example of an Old Testament practice that still has some principles that apply to us today is found right here in Leviticus chapter 6. And in this context here, God is speaking to Moses about how to administer the various types of offerings, the guilt offerings, the grain offerings, the sin offerings. And I want you to notice what he says here to Moses about the burnt offering. He says here in chapter 6, beginning in verse 12, the fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must not go out. Every morning, the priest is to add firewood and arrange the burnt offering on the fire and burn the fat of the fellowship offerings on it. The fire must be kept burning on the altar continuously. It must not go out. Now, you might notice a phrase is repeated twice there. It must not go out. And I want us this morning to use that as our launching point to talk about a fire that must not go out. This makes me think of how important it is for you and I today to keep the spiritual fires of our life burning within. One of the greatest tragedies that I see today in the lives of Christians are those who were once on fire for the Lord, but their spiritual fire has either gone out or possibly is very close to going out. These are people who were once fueled by the fire of learning God's Word. They were fueled by the fire of working for the Lord in the church and sharing Christ with their lost friends. But the fires, those spiritual fires, have died out and they have died down, and they are in danger of allowing those spiritual fires to burn out altogether. That is a sad thing, I'm sure, that God would see in the lives of many today. Their lives have become comfortable. They no longer have that zeal for the Lord anymore, and it is a tragedy. Their lives are mundane, and maybe they're just simply going through the motions of religiosity, and their fire really is not burning for the Lord. I believe that God has created us for more than that. I believe He wants more from us than that. We are told in Romans chapter 12 and verse 11, the Bible says, "Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor." And as I look to Leviticus chapter 6 and these instructions about the fire on the altar, I believe that the principle about keeping the fire burning was a message that is still burning today, that is still a living message for us today, that did not become extinct because it was simply an Old Testament practice that we are not specifically practicing today. I believe that it is still important for us, and it's not something that we will just then set aside and not give attention to. There are three things I think that God was wanting to allude to then and even apply to us today as we consider these burnt offerings in Leviticus chapter 6. Here are the three things we're going to consider this morning. First of all, you need to add to your fire with devotion. And secondly, you need to then arrange that fire with sacrifice. We'll talk about some of the sacrifices that God wants us to put on our altar. And then thirdly, you need to feed your fire with fellowship. These are the things that we'll consider this morning from Leviticus chapter 6. And so let's begin with the idea of adding to your fire devotion. This is something very important for the New Testament worshiper today, that we would add to our fire with devotion. Here God told Moses, He said, every morning the priest is to add firewood to the fire. And so that was the first thing then that the priest would do every morning, is they would go out there and they would simply put on more fire on the fire. They would add firewood to the fire. They would take care of the fire. They would fuel the fire so it could continue to burn. And that's because, you see, morning is the most important part of the day. It's how you get started. It's how you continue to follow with that momentum through the rest of the day. It sets the tone for the rest of the day. And so it's easy, I think, for us to see the spiritual parallel with us today in terms of our spiritual life. You need to begin each day. Every day that you begin, you need to begin that day focused on God. You need to be doing some things that will allow you to keep your spiritual fire going, adding firewood to that fire, and it is the firewood of devotion to God. You see, here's what I've noticed. What I focus on in the morning reflects my priorities, and it tends to determine my priorities for that particular day. And so when I wake up in the morning, and all that I can think of is what is happening in the NBA, particularly with the Lakers. And I, the night before, as I usually do, I kind of look at the game and look at the stats. And that's just one of the little weird things that I do. I mean, it's not a spiritual thing, but it's just one of those things that we do. It's not against God or anything. It's not an evil thing. But so if I wake up the next morning thinking about, well, the Lakers lost last night, or they won last night, or here's their next game, then guess what? That's going to set the tone for the rest of my day. That's going to set the priorities for what I'm going to be thinking about that day. If I wake up in the morning thinking about the stock market, well, guess what? Then the rest of the day I'll be thinking about what stocks are going to do what and when and how and where I need to invest money in those things. Those are going to set my priorities for the day. But if I begin my day thinking about material things, then that really just sets the direction for the rest of my day. If I wake up with anything other than fellowship with God, then I realize that I need to add some spiritual firewood to my devotion to God. I need to be gearing my day in just a very different way. The easiest way to do this, of course, is what? With prayer, right? You get up. You think about God. You think about what God wants you to do for the day. You put your hands together. Maybe you'll get on your knees. You'll pray before God. You'll close your eyes. You'll think about what God wants you to do that day in prayer, thanking Him for just the gift of another day, praising Him for what He did for you yesterday, praising Him for what He'll do for you today, just seeing God as the focus of your life. Then you will set that spiritual tone for the rest of your day. You'll be adding the fire of devotion. See, over the years, I've known many people who, sadly, I can say, have drifted away from the Lord. They once had a spiritual fervor for God. They were on fire, as we say, for the Lord. Some of them were people, I thought, who had a very strong faith. And I used to wonder, why did they leave the Lord? What happened in their life? Why did they drift away? And I realize, of course, that there may be a variety of other issues that caused that to happen, but I believe a main factor was simply this practice of starting each day with the Lord, focused on Him. And in addition to prayer, of course, maybe reading some Scripture, at least in the morning, maybe throughout the day, dwelling on some passage of Scripture that you have looked at, read, or studied, and praying to God throughout the day. Their fire went out because they were not adding the firewood of devotion to their spiritual fire. And so if you start out the day focused on God, fueling your fire with a devotion for Him, I believe it can make a huge difference. Let me use marriage as something that I can kind of springboard off of right here. The most important time of the day, I think, for any couple is the morning. You know, that time when you get up and before you leave the house for work. I believe it's a good time, if you have the ability to do this with your spouse, your schedules meet up, for you to pray together, talk together, to make a connection together. And that's going to set the tone for the rest of your day with your spouse. And I think it's the very same principle as it comes with our relationship with God. Just as the priest then, as this Old Testament practice refers to here, was to add this firewood to the fire every single morning, keeping the fire going, you need to do the same with your spiritual fire for the Lord. You need to begin each day focused on Him, praying, reflecting on His Word, so that His fire within you doesn't just burn, but stays burning as it was in this practice. Let's consider a second principle from Leviticus chapter 6 this morning. And that is this idea of, he puts it as arranging the fire with sacrifices. So notice again in Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 12, he says, every morning the priest is to add firewood, and then he says, and arrange the burnt offering on the fire. Now, probably, I'm guessing this morning that none of you have ever seen an Old Testament burnt offering. Probably you can't really relate. And of course, unless your wife offered you a burnt dinner, whatever it might be. But you probably never really experienced this burnt sacrifice. So, I think each of us have probably seen a backyard cookout, right? So let's see how this works for the backyard cookout. Once you get a fire going, what you will do is you will continuously, as you're on that grill, you will arrange the burgers in such a way, moving them around, realizing if you leave them in one spot and the fire is really strong in that one area of the barbecue, then you're probably going to end up with a charred burger with a raw inside. And believe me, you don't want that, especially for the guy that likes burgers, right? You want them cooked evenly. And so you'll be rotating them around. And this is kind of what he's talking about here. You understand the significance of shifting your sacrifices, that's what they would do, around on the altar. You would arrange the sacrifices. And so this is how it works then with the different areas of sacrifices that we make to God. And I'm just going to cover three of them this morning and ask you, using that analogy of the barbecue, to just shift these around and in a balanced way arrange all these sacrifices in a way that will burn evenly and be pleasing to God our Father. So the first one I want to talk about is our praises to God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, it says, through Jesus, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips that confess His name. Did you realize that much like the Old Testament priest this morning, when you were offering your praises to God, singing praises to Him, you were offering a sacrifice to Him. You were putting that on the altar of your life. You were offering, as it says in Hebrews 13, 15, the fruit of your lips. And God is pleased when you praised Him. I want you to think about the fact that when you were singing praises to God, didn't matter what page number was. David was talking 728 or 20, B or number 23, whatever. Our God, He is alive. You were singing that to Him, and that was your sacrifice to the Lord, offering the fruit of your lips. And here's a crucial distinction I want you to make: you don't praise God with your feelings. I mean, they may accompany your worship, but you don't praise God with your feelings. You praise God with your words and with your attitude. That's why it says we offer our worship to God in spirit, that's our attitude, and truth, that is our actions or our words. And so when we're offering those sacrifices to God, we praise God with our words and with our attitude. Even if your feelings may be are not quite there or what they should be, you're focusing on the words that you speak and the attitude that you convey as you worship God. And you may be saying, God, I don't feel all bubbly inside this morning at this moment, but I'm going to praise You with my words and with my attitude. And maybe that's going to be a sacrifice for me today because my feelings aren't what they should be, but I'm still going to praise You anyway. Now, another way that we sacrifice to God is not just through our praise, but also through our service to God. Whatever God's will for you in life may be, I can tell you this: you can be sure that it will involve helping other people, that is, serving other people. And when you help people, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 40 that when you're serving others or helping others or doing things for others, it says in Matthew 25, 40, you're doing it unto the Lord. It should be the goal of every Christian, I believe, to have an area of ministry, that thing that you do for the Lord that is specifically service to help somebody else, that again is helping or serving the Lord, a place where you can serve. And this is how you arrange the fire, you see, of your life. You're arranging the sacrifices in such a way that you're praising God, you're serving God. And then thirdly, another way that you sacrifice to God, here it is. It is through your giving. And this is exactly what the priests were doing in the days of Moses in these sacrifices. They put their offering on the altar, and it was a sacrifice to God. It was something that they were giving to the Lord. They couldn't pull out their wallet and put paper money or coins on the altar. Instead, guess what? They were giving their animal. It was something they could have eaten. They weren't putting it on the altar to cook it and then eat it. They were cooking it, putting it on there to burn and to not eat and give it over to the Lord. It was a sacrifice that they were giving to God. They were not cooking the animals to eat them. They were burning them and giving them over to the Lord. And so your giving to the church and your giving to help others is indeed a part of the sacrifices that you will offer to God. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6 that your giving must be done with a purpose in your heart. It must not be done grudgingly. It must not be done something out of necessity, that is because you feel like you have to do it, but rather instead you want to do it. You are a cheerful giver. You give it over to the Lord because you are happy to give that to Him as your sacrifice. And by giving to the Lord, you are arranging the firewood in your life so that you can continue burning brightly for the Lord. So you arrange the fire with sacrifices. And finally this morning, as we look at Leviticus chapter 6, a third principle here in the idea of keeping our fire burning is the idea that we need to feed the fire with fellowship. Look again in Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 12. He says, every morning the priest is to add firewood and arrange the burnt offering on the fire and burn the fat of the fellowship. Now, I want you to think of that backyard grill again. What happens when the fat of the meat starts dripping into the fire? It's kind of weird. Yeah, everybody's going, right? It's actually feeding the fire. It actually gives strength to the fire when that happens. It feeds the flame, doesn't it? And in the same way, fellowship feeds the flame of your spiritual life. We've been talking about this the past couple of weeks, about the idea it is necessary for us to meet with each other, have fellowship with each other, because every time you get next to another Christian and you enjoy that fellowship, that's right, and the fire is growing, and you're getting stronger, and you're keeping that fire going for the Lord. The Lord wants you to feed your fire with fellowship, because your biggest enemy in keeping your spiritual life going for the Lord is very simply this. It is sin. Sin is what will put out your fire. And one of the most powerful ways that you defeat sin is, believe it or not, through fellowship. Let me show you. Well, I guess I didn't put that passage on here. But in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13, the Bible says, encourage one another daily, so that none of you will be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. The devil is after you. He is the enemy of your soul. He wants you back more than anything. You've left him, you're serving the Lord, and he doesn't want the ones he's already got because they're already his. He wants you back, and he's going to do it by throwing sin into your life, and he doesn't want you to be here this morning. He doesn't want you to fellowship with others because he realizes that as you're with other Christians who are trying to live for the Lord, who will encourage you to do that, and maybe even admonish and warn you when you're out of step with God, the devil doesn't want you in that environment. He wants you away from the fellowship. But the Bible again says that we need to encourage one another so that we'll not be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You need other Christians in your life to stay strong against sin and to keep your spiritual fire burning for the Lord. It is a fact of life that you always grow stronger with a church family. That's the best environment to be in of all things, with your church family. The body of Christ exists so that, as we said last week, that you and I might stir each other up to love and good works, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. The body of Christ exists. Every part of the body does its share, the Bible says in Ephesians 4:16. We all do our share so that then we'll all grow up in Christ and we will build each other up in love. Again, Ephesians 4:16. So we gain enormous strength from what we're doing here this morning. And let me tell you something, after you've lifted the weights this morning and you've flexed your muscles and you've gotten stronger and you've put that fire on your that firewood on your fire and you've had the fellowship that you've had this morning, wouldn't it be a great idea if you came back tonight and did that again? And how about even Wednesday night when we have Bible study and do that again? And how about the times when men and women get together at a men's luncheon and a ladies' luncheon and they're getting the, and they're just feeding off of that fellowship, and again you hear that and the fire is growing and you're growing stronger and you'll be amazed at what God will do through your life through that fellowship with one another. Well, some of you here today are saying, I need this. I mean, my fire is barely flickering, and it is barely alive. And others may say this morning, you know what? I almost feel like my fire is completely gone out. Well, here's the good news. If you feel that way today, it only takes a spark to get a fire going. Sound like a song, doesn't it? It only takes a spark to get a fire going. And I hope through your fellowship today with God's people, and through your exposure today to the Word of God, that somehow, some way, that spark has got underneath your fire and will cause you to want to keep your fire going for the Lord. If you're ready to fill your life with the fire of God, God is willing to provide the spark that you need. He's prepared to light the fire of your life again today. And the question is, are you ready to keep your fire burning? Here's how you do it. Make it a daily priority to spend time with God in prayer, adding that firewood to your fire, praying, reading God's Word in the very morning that you get up. And then secondly, spend time praising God, helping others, serving others, giving to God. Again, arranging those sacrifices on your altar so that you will continue to burn brightly for the Lord. And thirdly, spend time with God's people, feeding on the fire with fellowship. And when you do these things, your life will burn with a passion for God that can never be extinguished. And so as we close this morning, how's your fire doing today? Has it been lit in the very first place by you coming to Jesus Christ for salvation? That is, coming and accepting the gift that He's offered to you. He gave His life for you so you might have life. Do you believe that He's God's Son? And today, if you believe He's God's Son, come down this morning. Say, I'm willing to repent of my sins today. I want to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of my sins. I want to light that fire today and have Jesus burning within me. And maybe you're already a Christian. Maybe that fire has been snuffed out by sin, or it's barely flickering. And maybe this morning you need to return to the Lord. If you're subject to the gospel invitation, would you come as together we stand and sing?